The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and Nick has the children's sermon this morning.
Good morning. St. Paul Lutheran, good morning, children. Children, I'm going to tell you something that me and you have in common. Is when I was little, probably around your age, around 13 or 14, my parents, like your parents, always told me, clean your room. They would wake up extra early on Saturday, from my day off of school, and say, clean your room. And by 13 and 14, I developed a nice system to clean my room really fast. So what I would do was take all my shirts, fold them, throw them in the closet. I would take my jeans, because my dad cared for my jeans not being, he wanted a nice crease like I have right now. He didn't want any wrinkles. So I'd fold those up properly, put them on a hanger, and those would get hung up. Socks and underwear, thrown away. My toys, my mom said, if I ever step on your toys, I'm throwing it away. She said, if I see it on the floor, I'm throwing it away. She said, if I see it outside in the living room, I'm throwing it away. So I made sure all my toys were in my room, stacked on the shelves. And there was two types of toys. Toys that I played with, and they'd go in a nice bucket, and toys that I wanted to show off to my cousins or any friends that came over. So they go on the shelf, and you can't touch those. And not only did my mom have that rule with the toys, but she had it with my video games. If I see a controller, throwing it away. Better not be on the floor, better put it in its proper place. And if I see any of your video games mixed up, I'm going to throw them away. And it's like, Mom, these are $50 video games. You bought them for $50. You're just going to throw away money like that? Yes. Yes, she was. She did not care. So all my video games would be lined up with the control at the end. So it would be a nice bookend. And then my PlayStation or my Nintendo 64 would be in its proper spot. Easy. And the remote to the TV would always be on the TV. Easy. Easiest way to clean up ever. The only problem is my dad would sometimes actually get really nosy and go into my closet and look in and say, that's not clean. And then he'd go underneath my bed and say, you have all these toys underneath here. You know how your mom is? You better fix that. And then he would take his finger, go into the back of my shelf, and he'd see all this dust. And he says, you need to clean that. You know how your mom is. Don't make me come talk to you. And he'd leave my room. And the reason I tell you that is because there is some stuff that I clearly cared about, like my video games. They were in nice order, and my toys. And there is some stuff I didn't really care about. Like my shirts. They're just shirts. They get dirty. Sure, you can wash them. What's the point? They're going to get dirty. I'm going to wear them. So, just throw them in the closet. That was my thought process as a kid. As an adult, and I have my own house, I've realized I have to clean everything, and everything has to be in its proper space, because I don't want my friend Kathy coming over, coming into my house, and saying, "Ugh, you live like this? Oh no. Oh no, I can't be here. I'm gonna go, Nick. You just call me when all this is taken care of." It's embarrassing, kids. It's embarrassing. So clean your rooms when your parents tell you to clean your rooms. Make sure everything is in its proper place, and don't do what I do and just throw clothes around or throw the things that you don't care around. Now, I tell you that story because in the gospel message that Pastor Tim just read, we have a gardener who's going out with a bunch of seeds, and he's going out to his garden. He's on a little journey to his garden, and he's carrying a bag of seeds. Now, the bag of seeds must have a hole in them because the Bible says that some fell on the pathway. He didn't care. And the gardener opened up his bag. He takes a bunch of seeds and just throws them and scatters them. And if anybody who's ever planted anything knows that is not the proper way to plant stuff. I don't know how to plant stuff, but what I do know is you dig a nice little trench, and then you take your seeds and you plant everything one by one in a nice row in a nice line. What you would not do is scatter things. And you don't want to scatter things because you want the soil to get on the seed, or you want the seed to go in the soil, and you want the water to come down, and you want that seed to blossom into whatever it is you're growing. You would not go ahead and just throw things around like I do with my clothes. You wouldn't do that. So why would you do that? The disciples had the same question. "Jesus, Master, tell us what the parable means. What are you saying? Talk to us." And Jesus says, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches that away which is sown from his heart. That is the seed on the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one that hears the word of God, praises God, thanks God, and yet when hard times come, they say, 'Who's God? I don't know him. Do you know him?' And then there are others who are planted properly in the soil. They get nice water, and they praise God and thank God. And when the hard times come, they say, 'Thank God for these hard times, because I know someone, Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit, have my back. They are here to protect me.' And this is the power of the Holy Spirit. As you remember, after Jesus died, Jesus said, 'I'm going to send with you a helper. That is the Holy Spirit. You will receive him.' And he did. And this is the power of the Holy Spirit. If you are a seed and you have fallen on the path, or if you are a seed and you have fallen in a rocky area where you're not supposed to bloom, the power of the Holy Spirit is that you can be replanted, come over here towards the nice soil that is faith, come to a nice church like St. Paul, meet amazing people as a congregation, go to Sunday school, learn about God, and you can be shined with the Holy Spirit, showered with the Holy Spirit, and you will grow and blossom into a beautiful young Christian woman and or man. And of course, as with Jesus, eventually it will be your turn. So Jesus has poured his Holy Spirit into you, and the reason for that is because one day you're going to grow up, and you may have a job like Pastor Tim, you may have a job like me, or you may have a job like Kathy, or Miss Peyton, or the Gilmerts, and you're going to say to yourself, it's time to help. It's time to give back. And that is your purpose. And that is the point of the seeds. So thank you, children, so much for joining us. Thank you so much for everybody who's hearing us. I appreciate seeing you. God bless, and you have a good week.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A man went to the doctor for his annual physical, and as the doctor was examining him and going through the test, there was a kind of a scowl on the doctor's face, kind of frown lines, and the patient was asking, "Doctor, what is it?" And the doctor got through with the examination. He says, "Well, It's nothing that's going to require surgery and nothing that's going to really change your medication. But I am going to tell you, no more smoking, no more drinking. I don't want you doing anything that will overexert you. And on top of that, then, I want to put you on a strict diet. And the man says, will this help me to live longer? And the doctor told him, well, I really can't guarantee that, but it will seem longer. We come to worship on Sunday mornings or on Saturday evenings, or we listen to give thanks and praise to God for the many blessings that we do have. But we also come to church to pray for healing. We come to pray for healing for any kind of physical ailments that we may have or that our family may have, our neighbors may have. We pray for healing for this world that always seems to be torn apart somewheres in the midst of war and conflict. We pray for our nation as it seems to be torn apart with politics and also with the racial strife that's going on. We pray for healing from this pandemic that has enveloped the world. But as we come to worship, we also pray for healing in another way, and probably even more so of why we even pray for healing. We come to pray for healing from our sin. As we begin each worship service, we go through a confession. This morning we said in our confession, I have sinned by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault. We know that we are sinners. That's all there is to it. On other Sunday mornings, we say we are in bondage to sin. We are bound to that sin. As long as we are living on this earth, we are sinful creatures. From that very first time of the first fall, when we no longer were able to live in paradise, we have been living in sin. Each and every day, we commit sins. And so it's important that we do come together. And each week then, we confess our sins. We admit that we are sinners and that we are in need of God's help. We are in need of healing. Christ has done amazing things for us. Here in our second lesson today, Paul says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Sin leads to death. When we no longer lived in paradise, one of the consequences was that we do die. Sin leads to death. But thanks be to God, God sent his Son into the world to free us from the bondage of sin so that we may be truly free. God sent his Son into the world to take on human flesh, our sinful human flesh, but Christ was not sinful. But yet Christ took the punishment for us. He is the one who suffered the death for us. He died on that cross. He took all of our sins, all of our shame, all of our guilt, all of our troubles. And he died on that cross. And he rose again to new life, bringing us also into that new life. Now, that new life is not only for after when we die physically on this earth. It makes a difference of how we live on this earth. It makes a difference in how we see our lives and how we conduct ourselves. And it makes a difference in our attitude towards the life that we live. Look at that gospel lesson that we read today, the parable that Jesus told that Matthew recorded. About the sower and the seed. The sower goes out and he scatters the seeds. And the seeds of faith fall in different places. They fall on the path. And on the path, for someone who they may hear that word of Christ, they have heard that story of the resurrection and the cross and the resurrection, but it makes no difference to them. They don't care about it. It doesn't sink in. And the seeds just go to waste. Birds pick them up. They get scattered by the wind. For individuals then too, it just makes no difference. It doesn't sink in. It does no good. or for that seed that falls on the rocky places. People receive it with joy. This is a wonderful story. They see the wonderful things that God has done through scriptures. They can see it in other people. But as soon as adversity comes around, as soon as trouble comes around, and trouble does hit Christians. Sometimes I think trouble hits Christians even harder than it hits other people. We are not immune to disease. We are not immune to other people hurting us. We still live in this world where we too commit sin. But when adversity comes, if we have no depth within our faith, if those seeds of faith planted within us do not grab hold, if they do not get deeper, and they get deeper through prayer, through study, through worship, through conversation with other Christians, if we have no depth, that faith will just shrivel up. When adversity comes, we say, what good is this faith? It didn't save me from anything. Some of the seeds fell among thistles or thorns or weeds, and they grew well. They started to grow well. But the thorns and the thistles and the weeds started to grow too, and chokes that plant out. For us as well, a lot of times we have good intentions. We believe in God. We believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But then we get so distracted with so many different things, with family, with work, with friends, with play, with entertainment, with the need for more money or more property or more power. And we get distracted from who we are created to be that plant, to be that child of God who bears good fruit. And we never bear good fruit. We are too distracted by everything else that's going on in the world. And then that seed does fall on good ground, and it takes root, and it grows, and it grows, and it matures, and it bears the good fruit. 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. This is who God has created us to be from the very beginning, is to be His children, to do His will, to serve God and to serve one another, to bear that good fruit. And it makes a difference of Christians who have that deep faith, because with that deep faith, we become what God intends us to be by that leading of the Holy Spirit that God has poured into us. We are fed, we are nurtured by that Spirit so that we grow and that we produce, because this is who God has created us to be. We have a different attitude toward life, even when adversity comes, even when trouble comes, even when we see the mess that the world is in from time to time. We have a different attitude, a different way of looking at things. For instance, one of the things that all of us do is work of some sort. Whether you're a student going to school, Or take a farmer, a rancher, for example, then. How do they view their work? Is it just a way to make money? Is it a way just to be away from everybody else? No, most farmers and ranchers love their work. And they provide for other people. They provide food so that people like me can eat. They provide products that are made into clothing. They provide wonderful things for all the other people. And they get paid for it. Or a plumber, or an electrician. Think about a plumber. You work just to make money? Just to make a paycheck? No. You do it to serve other people so that they can have running water in their homes, so they don't have to take a bucket down to the creek every morning and pull a dirty bucket of water and drag it back up to the house and use that. They are serving other people. Think about teachers, about instilling wisdom into their students, anywhere from pre-K all the way up to PhD candidates. The instructors, the teachers, they're teaching knowledge, they're teaching wisdom, they're teaching that love of exploring new things. Or think about an inventor. How do they look at life? Is it just because they're going to make a lot of money with a great invention? No, they love it. It's within who they are to be creative, to think about things and to make things work and to help other people save time or to provide services for other people. Every profession has a way of serving God and of serving other people. That is our vocation. That is who we are. That is who God created us to be. As Christians, God has created us not to just be blown away by the wind or to have the joy and have that fizzle out and shrivel up or to be distracted by everything else going on. But God has called us to take root, to grow, to mature, and to bear the good fruit 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold, to serve God with joy and to serve one another with pleasure. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.